So so we're talking about some kind of monster, one of my favorite documentaries that has...
What's the noise?
I don't know. Okay. What is going on?
Trey?
It has...
And Bob up.
Oh, well, let me plug it in. There you go. It has... I mean, it's certainly about Metallica, but I think it's about dudes getting older. I think it's about alphas, multiple alphas, one trying to give in to another or not. And through it all, as they look back at this film themselves, because most of us can't believe it was made with guys this famous... making them or allowing themselves to look this bad and for it to get out, because I assume any band that's been around this long probably has to have multiple creative minds and they have to go to war, but that's part of the creative process, right? I think.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, and you know, James Hetfield brought this up at some point. He was, go ahead, Trey, sponsors.
The Great Gorder's Airstream Hetfield.
Start over. 3, 2, and 1.
The Great Gordo's Airstream of DFW.
There you go.
Metallica.
It's good stuff. Hetfield was talking about, though, how he regretted, not that he was upset that his former bass player died in a car crash
right.
in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He was upset that he died because the band wouldn't have the original core four all the way for 25 years or whatever, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Like U2.
And I've always thought with you two, I'm like, man, I think those two guys never say anything, like Adam and Larry. I don't know. I don't know how it works with all these bands, but
I think there are some people that know that they have it so good that what's the point?
And more, a lot of times that in a band like you two, and I'm not saying that Adam and Larry aren't super impactful and creative and contribute. And often, sometimes the guys that are in the shadows are the ones that really are driving the train.
Like John Paul Jones was in Led Zeppelin.
As far as writing music and really adding more than just playing the instrument. So, and they're content. It's the personality type. They're content to just kind of, I'm going to let the game come to me. And,
yes, and I'm positive because we work in a business where the stakes are lower. But
maybe I'm a little more emotionally healthy than these other two knuckleheads.
Well, I mean, I think in this business, I think in the mirror, I can see that my testosterone and my belief that I have the best way to do this has varied over the years, but it's definitely declined as I've gotten older, which probably means more secure. It's not just an age thing. It's probably success changes that a little bit, and I don't think success is a burden in most jobs. I do think for Metallica, though, that might have an opposite effect, where being super successful makes them feel like they have to keep raising the stakes and keep exceeding a new bar. I don't know, but I think all these personality things go in there together, and especially if you don't have a direct boss, like we do, and I think that makes us all play nice.
That's true.
If you were in Metallica and you're your own boss, or you feel like the other guy's trying to be your boss, maybe it's totally even more either it's self-regulated or it's not regulated at all.
Well, bringing it back to sports, you think about it like this. I would think as Master of Puppets and maybe the Black Album. Maybe let's just go with the Black Album. That was probably their most commercially successful record by a mile. Let's look at that as their championship. So anything you do after that, it may be really, really good. But if it doesn't sell as much, if the critics don't like it as much, then you're going to be looked at as, oh, is this, they're on the decline. Oh, they're failing. They haven't hit the mark. Oh, they're losing their edge. It's mainly the fact that it's the critics that are the ones that can be divisive.
Yeah.
As far as your band, where you think you're making really good material. And look, not every album is going to connect with 20 million people.
Right.
It's just not every season is going to end with you raising the Larry over
Absolutely.
Your head.
But you're still going to be able to, in their case, to go whenever, wherever they want and sell it out for however long
Absolutely.
They want. And that's the key for them, you know?
I think in a weird way, this documentary makes them unlikable. But after watching it, especially several times, I like them way more than I ever would have.
Man, I love James Hetfield. I think he's great.
Yeah, and I agree with you. If I had to rank them, Kirk's the best, and I like Hetfield. He's very likable. Lars is not as likable, but there's something obviously about him that just kind of represents everything Metallica's ever been, and therefore you can't get that mad at him. And then you watch him play a show, and you may suggest to me that technically there are a million drummers as talented, but man, I've never seen anybody expend so much energy at that point in their career that he does when he's playing drums for them in basically a pair of shorts.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Barefoot, shirtless, and just hammering it for what I thought was like 2:45 or something like that. I can't imagine.
Did they play marathon shows? And yeah. Three-hour shows? The one
I saw at the AAC was, I mean, you're just watching and you're like, this is insane.
Hey, man, this for me, at the very least, I'm now interested in them musically.
Yeah.
I never thought I would say that about them.
Wasn't that vibe at the end where they were playing Ecstasy?
Crap, dude.
Ecstasy of Gold is what it's called. And it's a build up to right when they're about to start the concert. Like, you're like, I want to go to this concert right now. Let me go. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
I just, you know, bands like that, you just don't know how big they are. And when you see them in therapy sessions and with their families, and then at the end, they put them on stage, yeah, and you're like, oh. Oh, yeah.
I wish to God that both of you could have seen them at Tarrant County in 1986, 85, I think it was 86, opening up for Ozzy. They were probably 23 years old, and they walked out on stage and absolutely owned the entire arena. And I walked into that show, and out. I left after they were done. Like, I stayed for like 5 Ozzy songs, and I was like, this is the most boring, neutered.
Was Mustaine in the band then?
No. This was Cliff, but it was right before Cliff died, okay, the original bass player. So it was the original
yeah, yeah,
four from Kill 'Em All, Ride mm-hmm. the Lightning, and Master of Puppets. And oh my God, my face felt like it was melted off, and I knew I was witnessing something as far as a live performance that I never had seen before, and I probably was never going to be able to see a show that captured that type of unbridled fury and energy ever again. And if you can see him, I know it'll be nothing like it was in that setting, but I'd love to go see him again. And
me too.
I'm sure it'd be really great to go see these guys.
Yeah, I think I saw him 2008, maybe. Were they here?
Yeah.
I don't know, but
like, I'm going to buy records. I want to buy a record, which I would never in a million years think that I would buy Metallica.
Let me help you.
Okay.
Help me help you.
I was going to say, if you want to put a Metallica Spotify list together or something, I'd be very interested in that, Danny.
Okay, I'd be happy
because
to do that.
But I don't know where to begin after the 25 most famous songs they've done.
It'll end for me after the Black Album, because I can't tell you anything about Saint Anger or any of that other stuff. I'd never listened to
them. Was the Black
Album
right before Saint Anger?
Yeah, I think so. Or
which one's Nothing Else Matters on, though?
That's Black Album.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's forever the 99 Cup
song. When did Hetfield cut his hair? When did he go from long to short? Like late 90s? Mid 90s?
I would say late 90s, but I'm guessing.
Like that.
I just, you know, they're the one band, and there are, you know, several bands
like this. They've all cut their hair short at some point or another.
Like, you know, whether it's the Stones or whether it's U2 or whether it's Metallica, there are very few bands that have been able to plow through all the different machinations of this is cool now. Well, this is cool now. This is cool now. These bands don't care. They just keep doing their thing, go through all the phases, and they're still growing and bigger than ever.
Yeah. I thought about something that you guys might actually find somewhat amusing, because I compared my Metallica fandom with somebody kind of like how Tiger Woods and golf, you know, that annoyed you about me as I got into it. I was into Metallica, and I'm one of these guys, Danny, and you're going to think less of me when I say this.
I doubt it.
I really like the S&M album.
What's that one?
The one they played with the San Francisco Symphony that's the one I really enjoy, because it's awesome, and it's alive, and but it's at the musical pace I'm more interested in than 2.5 hours. Late 90s, I would say. They played like on a waterfront with the San Francisco Symphony, and so it's It's way more melodic than Metallica hard driving Lars going nuts for 2.5 hours. So this is their MTV Unplugged version.
Well,
which is more for the for the guy like me
that
doesn't have full metal in me.
It's funny because in the middle of this, they look at the after James gets out of rehab, they look at the dudes that are filming all this, and they ask, should we be doing this? Do we need to make this movie anymore? Because I don't see a point to it, you know?
James especially.
And James finally said, they were like, well, why did you want to do it in the first place? He's like, I don't know. It's just what you do, or Metallica, and let's make a movie.
Right.
You know, it's just what you do. You come up with different things. You go play with a simp.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right.
You go do this. You put the documentary out. It's what you do. They've all done this.
Well, and they didn't go into the documentary saying, let's put a documentary out about us fighting. The documentary was, we're going to do another album, and here, we'll take you behind the scenes to see it, and this happened.
Yeah.
Because they thought this was a good idea with a therapist and with a film crew and just all that. I have to play one last piece of audio.
Play as much as you want.
This is probably going out of order a little bit, and we'll leave one or two, and maybe if you want to visit about this tomorrow, you know what? Screw it. We'll play both of them. Here we go. This is the first one that is insane because James is back from a rehab. He can only go 4 hours a day, and you're thinking, okay, well, we'll work around that. No. All of us can only go 4 hours a day. So he's telling the rest of the band, hey, I know you can't do anything until we get an album done at anything involving Metallica, but at 4 o'clock, we all leave because I don't want you guys listening to music without me. And think about how insane that sounds. Here it is.
I feel like the bad guy saying, I gotta go because it's 4 o'clock. If we all know, and we all do know, that 4 o'clock is kind of the stop time, and I don't know, then I won't feel like the heel here saying, I got to go eat dinner with my kids, you know, because I have a feeling, you know, I'm going to walk out of here and you guys are going to go in there and listen to this stuff. And it's like, that's not right.
That's not. I mean, if I want to listen to it, I'm going to listen to it.
But we should at least listen to it.
Stop earlier.
Right, but I know you'll sit there and start talking with Bob. Maybe Bob doesn't want to sit in there. And when I'm gone, things get talked about and then decisions are made. And I feel I walk into something that's already kind of decided. And it's a total uphill battle for me a lot of times. I don't like that feeling.
Well, that's like just like the last 15 years.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, let's talk about this tomorrow.
Okay, that's awesome. Where Kirk is like, oh, you don't feel like you're in control?
Yeah.
Well, that's how my entire life has been.
Well, that's like just like the last 15 years.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, let's talk about this tomorrow then.
Or, right.
Or do you want to take time out?
No, I don't have time right now.
Okay.
It's just past 4. So it's hard to introduce structure into this, and I'm trying.
So what do you think, Lars?
Did you hear the song from yesterday that we all heard together?
How is that different?
Because we all heard it together already.
But what he wants to be
was
part
I in there?
Of everything. He wants to be part of everything.
We all heard it together.
You came in.
All right, as long as you don't talk about it.
Is that a way around it, or is that just
that is definitely a way
no,
around
it? No,
how about,
it's
if, we
that
just,
is,
how about if we just save up the tension?
Here's
seriously.
Phil.
I mean, it's okay because it's good. Tension produces results.
Shut up, Phil.
Slams the door again.
And walks out. And then
Phil.
Then maybe if a little stalk is not the signature moment, or delete that is not the signature moment, then this one would be, and we'll end with this.
What is it you have to get back?
Some control. Some sense of involvement in the band.
When I was running this morning, I was thinking about seeing you today, the word comes up so much.
Ty!
You played the wrong one. I edited that.
Ty? I did play the wrong one. Did you dump it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got it, and we dumped it. We caught it in time.
That one's on me.
That's totally on me.
I said Ty. It was totally on me.
Self-absorbed. And what makes it worse is that you always talk about me. You use the word control and manipulation a lot. I think you control on purpose, and I think you control inadvertently. I think you control by the rules you always set. I think you control by how you always judge people. I think you control by your absence. I think you control all of this even when you're not here. I don't understand who you are. I don't understand the program. I don't understand all this stuff, okay? I realize now that I barely knew you before. And all these rules and all this, man, this is a rock and roll band. I don't want rules. I understand that you need to leave at 4. I respect it. But don't tell me I can't sit and listen to something with Bob at 4:15 if I want to. What is that? You know, I don't want to end up like Jason, okay? I don't want to be pushed away. I don't want it to happen twice. Let's do it, and let's do it full on, or let's not do it at all. See?
Not as descriptive. When you have to beep them all.
Yeah, he goes right into his face.
He gets right in his face.
And just yells the F word.
And Hetfield...
He takes it.
Hetfield doesn't even blink.
Hetfield would kill him.
Yeah, he would.
Kill him.
I bet you he's thought about it, too. So, in closing...
I loved it, dude. A+.
Isn't it awesome?
The most exciting part is I want to listen to them. I want to consume more. And that, again, is something I never thought I would say.
How much did you love the audition process for the bass players?
Awesome.
Wasn't that
so
fun?
Great.
I love the mishmash of weird metal dudes that rolled in there, you know? Yeah, it was so funny.
Did you like the interview with Robert?
Yes.
Didn't he seem kind of like, oh, good, and Kirk's probably looking over at him going, oh, an ally.
Yeah.
Like a nice guy to help kind of glue this thing together.
And was that true that when Hetfield said, what we're going to do first is we're going to give you $1 million?
Yeah.
And that happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. As an offering of good faith.
It was a signing bonus.
Yeah.
$1 million.
We're just going to give you $1 million, welcome you into the band. And then to their credit, as control freaky as they seem, they were very clear with their lawyers. We don't want this, you know, he starts with a little interest. We want 25, 25, 25, 25%. And
that was cool.
I think that's really important.
He's still there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's great. And his son is great. You should check out his son and the bass that Trujillo's son can play at like age 14 or whatever he is. All right, well,
good stuff.
Some Kind of Monster.
There is our documentary of the month. We're just not sure which month it is.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Hey, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.